In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in the prayer.
Good morning. The other night, someone came knocking at my door. Our doorbell's not working, so they were knocking on the front door. We had a bowl of candy all ready, and opened the door, and there was a little boy there with his mom, 4 or 5 years old, really, really cute. He had kind of like cat ears on and had this outfit with kind of spots of some sort and a big tail. And I was thinking cheetah, jaguar, something of this nature, face painted and everything, whiskers. So he says, trick or treat. And I got candy and I gave him some candy. And I said, so what are you? And he looked at me, and there was a little bit of confusion, then maybe a little bit of sadness. And he said, I'm a trick-or-treater. And I said, I know that. I know you're a trick-or-treater. I was just wondering, and I think it was a cheetah, ultimately. But I thought it was really interesting that I was asking him about his costume, and he took the question in a very literal way. Maybe he thought that I thought he was just some person coming dressed up for, you know, to look for something, but he took it literal. I was asking him what he was dressed up as, and he thought it was, what is he? And as Christians, I think this is a good question for us. Even in the epistle today, St. Paul tells us what we are. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is what we are, according to St. Paul. We are God's workmanship, prepared for good works, created in Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the question is this what we are, or is this only what we're dressed as? I wonder, and I think it's helpful for us to ask that question. Are we really this, Christians? Or are we dressed as Christians? As I was thinking about the sermon, I was reading, amongst other things, the sermon given by St. John Chrysostom on this passage. And one of the things he mentioned regarding this verse in particular, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. He said, it's not just one good work, this one or that one, but we are supposed to do all good works. He says, what good is it if you have self-control, you have the virtue of self-control, but you get angry all the time? Or you can be kind here, but very miserly over here. What good is it if you have one, but don't have this other? We are called to have all the virtues. And connected with that, I was reading from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we've heard this before. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Paul says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Notice he doesn't say, these are the fruits, plural, of the Spirit, but this is the fruit of the Spirit, which means if the Spirit is acting within us, if the Holy Spirit is active in our life, then we should be bearing fruit. And the fruit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're, all of them are the fruit. So these virtues, and this is a list that St. Paul gives in the fifth chapter of Galatians. It's not the only list, and those aren't the only virtues, but this is an important one. This list of the fruit of the Spirit is something that should be coming out of us, that should be, we should be manifesting this if we are Christians. Jesus says we need to bear fruit. This is the fruit. These things, not one of them or two of them. Now, sometimes a person might say that I'm pretty good at this. You know, I'm a patient person and I have self-control. But those other things I'm just not good at. Being kind to people, being generous. I'm not good at those things, but I'm good at these things. So I focus on those things. We hear in the scriptures that no, we are supposed to focus on all these things. We should be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, which are these nine virtues that Paul mentions. And I think as a help for us, it might be a help for preparing for confession, but I think beyond that, it's a help for just our own prayer life, our own self-reflection, that we need to ask ourselves about the virtues that we are exhibiting, producing in our life. Many of the saints tell us, focus on the virtues. Focus on the virtues that you want to bring about in your life. It's even better to focus on the virtues that you want to exhibit than focus on the sins that you are trying to get rid of. Focus on those virtues. And so I have here, based on these nine virtues that St. Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, nine questions that you can ask yourself. And this is something you can do on a regular basis. Maybe you can do this once a week. It would be helpful. The first one is on love. Remembering that love isn't just simply a warm feeling that we have towards someone, but it's the deliberate attitude of goodwill and devotion to others. It gives freely without expecting in return. This love in the Greek is called agape. It's not what caring about whether the other person deserves it or not, agape love. So the question is, am I motivated to do for others as Christ has done for me? Or am I giving in order to receive something back in return? The second question on joy, the second virtue of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Joy is gladness, which is completely independent of our situation, whether good things or bad things are going on in our life. In fact, oftentimes when we are feeling joy, God's joy, it's even more abundant when we're going through difficult times. It's a product of our fixing our focus on God's purposes, on Christ in our life, rather than our circumstances. So a question could be, am I experiencing a joy of life on a regular basis? Or is my happiness dependent on things going smoothly in my day? The third virtue, peace, is different than the absence of conflict or turmoil, but it's the presence of tranquility, even in the midst of difficult times. Picture Jesus walking on the water during the storm, and then calling Peter out to him. And then Peter, at first he's walking on the water, then he sees the big waves and the wind, and he's anxious. It's a contentment peace, knowing that God is in control. So the question may be, do I find myself frazzled by the crashing waves of turmoil in my life? Or am I experiencing, as St. Paul says in Philippians, the peace that passes all understanding? The fourth virtue is patience, sometimes described as long-suffering, perseverance, steadfastness. It's the ability to endure ill treatment from life or at the hands of others without lashing back. And a question might be, am I easily set off when things go wrong or people irritate me? Or am I able to keep a godly perspective in the face of life's irritations? Becoming a Christian doesn't mean God will make everything smooth for us and things will be peaceful. No, it means we will have peace in the midst of irritations because our focus is on God. The fifth virtue is kindness. Kindness is exhibited when a person looks for ways to adapt, to change themselves, to meet the needs, the real needs of other people without malice. You could ask yourself, is it my goal to serve others with kindness? Or am I too focused on my own needs, desires, or problems to let the goodness of God, which is in me, overflow into the lives of others? The sixth virtue is goodness. Goodness is different than kindness. Goodness is more connected to God. God is good, and we are called to have God's goodness in our life. We could also call goodness, perhaps, holiness. Goodness in you desires to see goodness in others. It exalts when it sees virtue, and it is angered when it sees sinful passions and vice in ourselves or even in others. And we could ask, does my life reflect the holiness of God? And do I desire to see others experience God at a deep level in their own lives? The seventh virtue of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions is faithfulness. A faithful person is a person with real integrity. Others can look to this person as an example. They can trust them. This person who has faithfulness is truly devoted to other people and devoted to God. You could ask, are there areas of hypocrisy and indifference toward God or others in my life? Or is my life characterized by faith in Christ and faithfulness towards those around me? The eighth is gentleness, which is not the same as meek. It is a meekness, but not a weakness. Gentleness is not absent of power. It just chooses, it's a choice to defer to others. It forgives others. It corrects, but corrects with kindness, and it lives in tranquility. You could ask, do I come across to others as brash and headstrong? Or am I allowing the grace of God to flow through me to others? And the ninth, the last of St. Paul's fruit of the Spirit, the virtues that he mentions, is self-control. Oftentimes, the sinful passions in us are at odds with God's desire for us. We want to be in charge. Really, self-control is letting go of our grip on our desires, choosing instead to be controlled by God's Holy Spirit. It's power focused in the right place. And one of the ways that we practice self-control in the life of the church is in the practice of fasting. Fasting goes directly contrary to what my personal desires are. Because I know I want this, fasting says, no, can't have that today. It's not cruel, fasting. It's helping us in self-control. So a question could be, are my desires controlling my life? Or am I allowing the Holy Spirit to direct me to the things that please God and serve others? Am I being controlled by my passions? Or am I allowing God to control me? I'd like to close this with some words of St. John of Kronstadt. In one of his writings, he says, "You're angry with your neighbor. You despise him. Don't like to speak peaceably and lovingly with him. Why? Because his character seems to be harsh, abrupt, careless, and unpleasant. You notice it also in his speech and in his manners, because he seems to think more about himself than perhaps is necessary. Or because he may be somewhat proud and disrespectful. But you yourself, you are your neighbor's physician and teacher. You are more guilty than him. Physician, heal yourself. Teacher, teach yourself. Your own malice is the bitterest of all evils. Is it then possible to correct malice by means of evil? Having a beam in your own eye, can you pull out the speck from the eye of another? Evils and faults are corrected by good, by love, kindness, meekness, humility, and patience." So, my brothers and sisters, we are the workmanship of Christ. We have been created for good works. Not one or two, not a certain type, but we are called to present the virtues in our life, which is a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit working within us. And it's good to do some self-diagnostic work on occasion, such as asking some of these questions to yourself. I will put these questions also on our webpage attached to the sermon. So if you go to the sermon, there'll be the recording of the sermon, but also you'll see a little area where you can click it and see notes connected with the sermon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.